are lots of terrific gay relationships, but I just don't think that marriage is the right term to put on it.
Tensions rising in the federal coalition over marriage equality.
In our party, backbenchers have always had the right to cross the floor.
The postal plebiscite allows the public to have their say.
Let's just get it done. I think a lot of Australians are genuinely getting quite peeved off.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. A police raid nets 42 Nigerians at a safe sex workshop, Haiti's Senate outlaws queer rights support, and Australia's marriage equality simmer boils over. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Jessica Andrea.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending August 5th, 2017. The Nigerian newspaper Punch reported that 42 men were arrested this week at a Lagos hotel for engaging in homosexual acts. That's a crime in the West African nation, even if it's adult, private, and consensual, and punishable by up to 14 years in prison. Death threats forced Nigerian LGBTQ rights activist Bisi Elimi to flee to London. He told Reuters that the acts in question were in reality HIV testing, counseling, and education. Nigeria has one of the largest numbers of HIV cases in the world. These men were trying to save their lives and make their country better, he said, by preventing the spread of HIV. Nigeria has an influential Christian evangelical movement in the south and strong support for Islamic law in the north, both of which oppose same-gender lovemaking. This week's raid in Lagos is just the latest in a series of infrequent but headline-making multiple arrests at gay get-togethers. They're infrequent only because sexual and gender-variant people rarely gather together since Nigerian legislatures outlawed marriage equality in 2013. They also made displays of same-gender affection a crime and banned any public support for LGBTQ rights. According to the BBC, no one arrested in these raids has ever been sent to prison.
Haiti's Senate has passed a bill that also bans marriage equality and public support for LGBTQ rights. The measure specifies that any parties, co-parties, and accomplices of the wedding of a same-gender couple can be jailed for 3 years and fined the equivalent of $8,000. Haitian law already defines civil marriage as exclusively heterosexual, so it's not clear what effect this new legislation would have. The measure's no-promo-homo provision, however, seems aimed at stifling the struggle for LGBTQ equality on the Caribbean island. The bill now moves to the Chamber of Deputies where, according to Agence France-Presse, its passage into law is all but certain. Haiti's two legally registered LGBTQ advocacy groups report that verbal abuse and physical violence, or at least the threat of violence, is a daily challenge for many of the nation's sexual and gender-variant minorities.
The dust continues to settle from U.S. President Donald Trump's tweeted tirade last week calling for a ban on military service by transgender people. Here's late-night TV host Stephen Colbert mocking Trump with a verbatim reading of the three tweets.
Please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military. Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail.
It's still not entirely clear how Trump's pronouncements will affect currently serving transgender service members. A year after officially allowing trans troops to serve openly, and just weeks after Defense Secretary James Mattis ordered a six-month review of the previously planned welcome for new transgender recruits, all bets are apparently off. The Pentagon has assembled a team of lawyers to try to sort things out. Its chief spokeswoman, Dana White, told the Associated Press that talks between the White House and Defense Department officials have begun. General Joseph Dunford, who heads the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said last week that nothing will change until the Pentagon gets a specific written policy directive.
Quinnipiac University reported that a significant majority of American voters, surveyed during the 5 days after Trump's tweets, believe that trans people should be allowed to serve openly in the U.S. Armed Forces. 68% of the 1,125 respondents approve of transgender service. Even 55% of those in the poll with direct ties to the military are fine with it. According to a university press release, Republicans opposed transgender service 60 to 32%. But every other party, gender, education, age, or racial group supports transgender service by margins of 22 percentage points or higher. The poll, conducted July 27th through August 1st, has a margin of error of plus or minus 3.4%.
The Trevor Project, one of the largest youth crisis intervention organizations for LGBTQ people in the U.S., reported that calls to its suicide hotline from transgender clients have more than doubled since Trump's tweets, from about 7% of calls to almost 18%. Agency officials said that the transgender discriminating bathroom bill pending in the Texas state legislature also contributed to the dramatic increase in calls. You can find contact information for the Trevor Project and other groups serving LGBTQ youth at thiswayout.org.
In other news, various media reports estimate that as many as 25,000 people attended a relatively peaceful LGBTQ pride parade in Jerusalem on August 3rd. By contrast, almost 10 times that number celebrated pride in the liberal beachfront city of Tel Aviv earlier this year. Tensions have been high over Jerusalem pride in recent years because of vocal opposition by most of the Holy City's religious leaders. That reached a peak in 2015 when teenager Shira Bonke was knifed to death at the parade by a radical ultra-Orthodox Jew. He also wounded a half dozen others in the deadly assault before being taken into custody. He's now serving a life sentence. Bonke was honored in a separate ceremony attended by her parents before the march. Security was understandably tight at the parade, particularly at entrance points. Police detained a dozen people suspected of planning to violently disrupt the procession. At least one of them had a knife. Right-wing Jewish extremists were given a permit to demonstrate their opposition to the public celebration of LGBTQ pride in an area near the parade. A heavy police presence made sure that there were no confrontations between protesters and pride marchers.
The former chief executive officer of the Manhattan-based RentBoy.com, Jeffrey Herant, was sentenced this week to 6 months in prison for running what the prosecution called the largest online male escort service in the United States. Herant and six RentBoy.com employees were arrested in August 2015 on money laundering and prostitution charges. Criminal charges against the six employees were dropped in February 2016, a month after Herant was indicted by a federal grand jury in Brooklyn. He was supported by a number of human rights activists and lawyers, along with several of the men who advertised their services on RentBoy.com. All his defenders praised the site for sponsoring regular safe sex workshops and offering scholarships for sex workers. In addition to the jail time, U.S. District Judge Margot Brody fined Herant $7,500. She also ordered the official shuttering of his company, Easy Rent Systems, Incorporated. Herant agreed not to appeal the sentence as part of a plea deal his attorneys reached with prosecutors last October. "The very thing that is illegal, there is no question it did a lot of good," Brody said of the website. "But almost two decades of committing a crime can't go unpunished." Herant told supporters outside the courthouse that, "We must fearlessly fight for the rights for consensual adults to choose what they do with their bodies."
And finally, a man in Dublin claimed that what was good for the goose was good for the gander when he filed a discrimination lawsuit against a baker for refusing to make a cake for him that described opening civil marriage to same-gender couples as a perversion. The unidentified man also demanded that his belief that Ireland's publicly approved marriage equality law needs to be repealed should be written on the cake. He cited a case earlier this year that found another Irish baker guilty of discrimination for refusing to make a pro-marriage equality cake with the image of Sesame Street's Bert and Ernie. The complainant in Dublin claimed that the opening seven words of the lengthy lettering the man wanted, "By the grace of the good Lord," made it clear that he was expressing his religious beliefs. But the baker told the Workplace Relations Commission that the order was very complicated in terms of the different colors, the use of capital letters, and the fonts the man wanted. The 49 words in the message were also considerably more than what would be the norm in any message a baker would be asked to squeeze onto a cake. In his decision, adjudication officer Ian Barrett agreed that the man's order was simply impossible to execute, that the refusal was based on business considerations and not on the man's Christian beliefs, and dismissed the complaint. The failed defense in the Bert and Ernie cake baking case claimed that God considers it a sin to make cakes with LGBTQ supportive messages on them. Several courts have risked possible damnation by disagreeing.
That's News Wrap for the week ending August 5th, 2017. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Wenzel Jones.
And I'm Jessica Andrea.
Australia's marriage equality dam may be breaking, and the final breach could come in just days. 25 countries around the world have embraced equality, leaving Australia the last major English-speaking democracy with a heterosexuals-only marriage law. But events are moving fast down under, and the nail-biting climax of the drama in Parliament could actually threaten the stability of the current government and Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull's job. As hundreds of demonstrators fill the streets and MPs line up for battle, This Way Out correspondent Barry McKay takes a look back at the long history of Australia's marriage equality struggle.
In 2004, Australia's long-serving arch-conservative Prime Minister John Howard passed an Act of Parliament into law stipulating that marriage was to be defined as being only between a man and a woman, echoing the Defence of Marriage Act in the United States. From 2007, during the 6 years that the less conservative Labor Party was in office, the tide of public support for marriage equality was turning. A 2007 Galaxy poll showed that 57% of those surveyed were in favour of marriage equality, up from 34% in a 2004 News Poll poll. Activists were disappointed when Australia's first female Prime Minister, Julia Gillard, failed to show support for the issue at the Labor Party's 2011 National Conference. Dr. Karen Phelps, the first LGBTQ person to be elected president of the Australian Medical Association, attended the large demo outside the conference venue.
I think Julia Gillard has some political debts to pay to the right, and I think that it's time that she reviewed her position and evolved, and I'd love to see her actually support marriage equality, but I think with the hole she's dug herself into, at this point, that's unlikely.
Political infighting amongst factions helped bring down the Labor government in 2013, and another staunch Conservative, Tony Abbott, was elected Prime Minister for the Liberal and National Party coalition the same year. In 2010, Abbott had made his position on same-sex marriage clear on the ABC TV, the national broadcaster's Q&A program.
All right, we're going to another question from the audience. It's from Jeff Thomas.
I'm a Vietnam veteran. I've been a plumbing contractor for 37 years. I have a gay son. When I was confronted with that situation in a very short amount of time and with due consideration, I accepted his position. And I overcame my ignorance and my fear of gays and the idea of gay marriage. When will you, Mr. Abbott, take up the same?
I think that there are lots of terrific gay relationships, lots of terrific commitments between gay partners, but I just don't think that marriage is the right term to put on it.
Although no longer Prime Minister, but still holding considerable influence in the current government, Tony Abbott's position has not changed.
Members, the eyes are 77, the nose are 44.
Also in 2013, Australia's close neighbour, New Zealand, passed marriage equality into law, an act of parliament that saw a spontaneous outbreak of a Maori love song in the public gallery. With the passing of same-sex marriage in New Zealand becoming a source of political embarrassment to many in Australia, many same-sex couples took the trip across the ditch to tie the knot. In 2015, a few months after the Supreme Court decision in the USA to overturn a ban on same-sex marriage in all states, Tony Abbott was ousted by his own party as Prime Minister. He was replaced by the more progressive Malcolm Turnbull. Turnbull's appointment gave hope to marriage equality advocates that his well-known socially progressive stance on same-sex marriage would finally see Australia catching up with the rest of the world on LGBTQ marriage rights. At the 2016 federal election, the Liberal National Party coalition campaigned to hold a plebiscite on same-sex marriage to gauge public opinion on the matter. Voting is compulsory for every citizen in Australia over the age of 18 in an election or referendum. The plebiscite, however, would be non-binding on the government and therefore has been criticised by many as a waste of time and money. Advocates for marriage equality pointed out that the lead-up to a plebiscite could see a campaign of homophobic hate speech released into the public arena in a similar way to what happened in Ireland for their vote on the same subject. In late 2016, the plebiscite motion was defeated in the Australian Senate, where the government did not have the numbers. Many members of Parliament and marriage equality advocates in Australia have always been in favour of a free conscience vote for all sitting parliamentarians, no matter what their political party affiliation. A parliamentary vote would also avoid the annoyance factor to the Australian public, who'd be forced to vote on an issue they weren't necessarily all passionate about. One of the most vocal opponents of marriage equality in Australia is the Australian Christian Lobby, a non-politically affiliated charity which is largely thought to be funded by Australia's evangelical Christian community. Its spokesperson is Lyle Shelton, speaking here on the ABC's Q&A program on marriage equality in early 2016.
Marriage is this compound right to found and form a family. If you're going to take gender out of marriage, that's going to affect children. And we've already seen the same-sex political lobby, and as is their right, they are pushing for a lifting of Australia's prohibition on commercial surrogacy. Now, that means rented wombs, eggs being paid for. It's got all sorts of ethical ramifications, and this will be a consequence of changing the definition of marriage, whether we like it or not.
Many individual mainstream churches in Australia have stated that the Australian Christian Lobby do not represent their views. Regular church attendance in Australia is also declining. A National Church Life survey found that in 2011, 15% of Australians attended church at least once a month, down from 36% in 1972. Whilst the number of those identifying as Catholic, Anglican and Uniting Church is declining, the number of Muslims, Buddhists, Sikhs and Hindus are increasing, according to the 2016 census. The number of those who identified in the census as having no religion is also on the rise. The demographics of Australia are also changing. The fastest growing and largest non-Anglo-Celtic ethnic group in Australia is now Chinese. Just under half of the 1.3 million Chinese resident in Australia were born in the People's Republic of China, according to last year's census. A lobby group known as the Australian Chinese for Families Association was formed this year after an apparent high level of support in the Chinese community for a petition against an anti-homophobic bullying program known as Safe Schools. LGBTQ issues were thought to be culturally inappropriate for children. The lobby is also opposed to same-sex marriage. It's this changing and challenging religious and cultural landscape that the government of the day has to take into account when making social policy.
magnificent show.
Now, many Australians really love their sport. When in March this year, the openly gay CEO of Australia's national airline Qantas, Alan Joyce, publicly declared his support for marriage equality, he was targeted in the face with a lemon meringue pie by an anti-marriage equality protester while speaking at a business function in Perth, Western Australia.
Since I've been here to announce the... heck. I don't know what that was about.
74-year-old former Australian tennis legend Margaret Court, now an ordained senior minister of a Pentecostal megachurch in Perth, struck a raw nerve with the Australian public when she wrote an open letter to Qantas saying that she would boycott the airline because of its stated position. This caused a backlash with celebrities and tennis greats such as Martina Navratilova calling for the Margaret Court Tennis Arena in Melbourne to be renamed. When Ms. Court spoke at a Liberal Party fundraising dinner in Melbourne in June this year, attended by former Prime Minister Tony Abbott, more than 100 protesters gathered outside.
Margaret Court, you've lost your step!
Bigotry, can't clear the net!
Margaret Court, you've lost your step!
Your bigotry, can't clear the net!
In his weekly email newsletter, Lyle Shelton of the Australian Christian Lobby called the action bullying and intimidation by rainbow protesters.
Gay, straight, black or white,
marriage is a civil right.
Early last week, reports began to emerge that a group of five Liberal Party MPs, four of them gay, would cross the floor to vote in favour of a private members' bill proposed by one of them, Liberal Senator Dean Smith, calling for a conscience vote for all members of Parliament on the issue of same-sex marriage. This is something that, to date, the government has disallowed. This, of course, has caused much interest in the Australian media.
This Wednesday, tensions rising in the federal coalition over marriage equality, as a new survey shows a growing number of Australians are comfortable with same-sex marriage.
The official government and Prime Minister Turnbull's stated position is support for a plebiscite being the only way to resolve the issue. However, as of last week, Turnbull was conceding some leeway for individual members of his party.
In our party, backbenchers have always had the right to cross the floor. In the Labor Party, you get expelled for doing that.
One of the rebel MPs, passionate LGBTQ rights supporter and North Queensland Liberal MP Warren Ench, expressed his disgust on ABC Radio when he was directed by a letter from the Liberal Party president to vote against same-sex marriage when Parliament resumes this week.
In 21-odd years that I've been in this job as a federal member of Parliament, I've never been specifically directed by my party to go one way or the other. That's one of the reasons I joined the Liberal Party.
As another option, a non-compulsory postal plebiscite has been proposed by Coalition Hard Right faction member Peter Dutton, who the Rupert Murdoch-owned press has dubbed Prime Ministerial hopeful material. Dutton first proposed the postal plebiscite on Sky TV News back in July.
Our party, as you point out, went to the election with a promise for a plebiscite, which has not been possible to deliver because we can't get the votes for it in the Senate. That's the reality of the numbers in the Senate. And from that point, what's the next best option? In my mind, it is a postal plebiscite, which allows the public to have their say.
A postal plebiscite vote has been criticised by LGBTQ advocates as unlikely to be returned in the post by younger voters, one section of the electorate most likely to vote yes. The official opposition Labor Party position is to support a parliamentary member's conscience vote on same-sex marriage, which they would support in the Senate where they have the numbers. However, Labor do not support a plebiscite. Labor leader Bill Shorten spoke on ABC TV Thursday last week.
Let's just get it done. I think a lot of Australians are genuinely getting quite peeved off that we're not just voting on. I mean, we go to Parliament every week. We vote on the most amazing minutiae. This is a big issue. We've made 20 amendments to the Marriage Act. Why now are we making gay people have to jump through an extra lawmaking hoop of a plebiscite when we've never asked anyone else to do it when we've amended the Marriage Act? It doesn't make sense.
This has all caused a major headache for the moderate Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, as he has stated he personally supports marriage equality in Australia, but he has to keep his party from tearing itself apart over the issue. Parliament resumes in Canberra this week after the Liberal Party meets in an emergency session over the marriage equality issue. Peter Dutton's postal plebiscite may be adopted by the party as a compromise deal. However, PFLAG activist Shelley Argent has said she would challenge it in the High Court, which would likely rule a postal vote invalid unless authorised by a specific law. The detail of gay Liberal Senator Dean Smith's private members bill has also been released. It would create a new category of religious marriage celebrant that can legally object to marrying a gay couple. Other businesses will need to prove a definite link to a religious body to refuse service to a same-sex couple. These exemptions are a concession to the right wing of the Liberal Party. If the bill does go ahead, it could see marriage equality passed through Parliament with the religious exemptions in place within the next 2 weeks. This, of course, would be dependent on the support of Labor and the minor parties. With thanks to Michael Barnett in Melbourne for his assistance in putting this report together, I'm Barry Mackay in Sydney for This Way Out.
The Liberal Party did meet, as expected, on August 7th. Much to the dismay of equality activists, they voted to try authorizing a marriage equality plebiscite again, although key senators who blocked the same proposal late last year have already said they'll block it again. If that plebiscite proposal fails, the Liberals say they'll try to authorize Peter Dutton's postal plebiscite. Activists are about to challenge that move in the High Court because it's unlikely that the Senate will okay the necessary funding for it. Meanwhile, rebel Liberal Party MPs are still threatening to cross the floor and vote for a private member's marriage equality bill in Parliament. Our Barry Mackay will be back to bring us up to date as Aussie history continues to unfold. Next time on This Way Out.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. No more f***ing ABBA.
Thanks for discovering This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. This week, program material came from Jessica Andrea and Wenzel Jones, produced by C. Pride, and Barry Mackay, with production assistance by Michael Barnett. ABBA performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our listener donors, for making this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google+. Smile at Overnight Productions on Amazon, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Richard Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WREK Atlanta, Georgia, Planet FM, Auckland, New Zealand, NVS Radio, Amsterdam, the Netherlands, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.